Hey, kids. You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles, and pancakes. The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Aki's here, Bree's here, Jacob's here, kind of in different headset. How's everyone doing?
Yay!
I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
We're alive. I'm hot.
Sleepy. Well, everyone's hot. It's like...
I know, but I'm shirtless.
Oh. That's gross.
You know what's gross? The amount of sweat coming off of my man titties.
Yeah, it hit 101 today where I live, and like 83% humidity.
I sat outside for like 6.5 hours yesterday knitting in the sun, and it was in the 90s.
Oh, fuck.
Did you have an umbrella or shade or anything?
I had like an awning of shade. That was about it. I had to put on sunscreen. I got a little sunburn.
Jeez.
Even so. Yeah.
Got in the car earlier today to run to the post office, and the car said 104.
Yeah.
Gross. Yeah. Friggin' yeah. Gross.
My ass is so swampy you can hunt alligators there.
Crickets. Crickets. Shit. Hold on, we have a button for this.
Aki laughed.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, Jacob, try it again. Try it again. Hold on, try it again.
I said, my ass is so swampy that you can hunt alligators there.
Is that better?
No, not better at all. God, I hate being on this show.
Why do I hate being on this show too, but I can't get away.
Just gonna have to like move every fucking week. Sorry, babe. Just gonna have to move to a new place because that way I don't have to do the fucking podcast.
Yeah, good headset. Don't worry about it. Keep it packed up forever.
Yo, it's the thing is that it's not.
Like, I know, but it's, we can't it's find like it. Your best headset too.
I know. I'll just have to beg Stevie to like do me a solid and have them send me another one.
Oh God.
Dear How old Stevie, is that?
Gotta find it.
It's like, what, like 2 years old?
Something like that.
Okay, you might be able to find that on Amazon still then. That may not be completely out of service.
It was a European headset.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, made for European brand.
Yeah, made for PS4 or PS5 and PC.
Weird.
Yeah.
I like the cheap little $20 headsets that, with the little kitty ears on them.
I was going to say, like, the headphones I use when I'm on, like, vacation or working outside on my laptop to do the show, they were, like, $20 at Best Buy, and they're just, like, basic headphones with the little flip-down microphone, and they sound great. I don't know.
Yeah, it's... We got to find something good for Jacob. Like... I don't know if we have to do, like, order 10 of them and do sound tests for all of them and then find the best one and send it to them.
It's like, just
buy cheap ones. They always work. If it's more than $30,
it
may sound like shit. If it's less, it'll probably be fine.
We just send him Aki's Rock Band mic that she got from me 10 years ago.
Yeah, once I find it, yeah.
Yeah, but then Aki's touched it, so...
That makes it even more valuable to you.
I mean, true, I will be sniffing it more often.
Why?
Just be like, this headset smells different than when she's asleep.
Brother,
Speaking of gross things, should we get to the news?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sony had a 1-2 punch of amazing news on Wednesday as they first announced the PS3 and PS Vita stores will be closing in July of 2027, if not sooner, based on your location.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a year to get your final purchases in. And then,
yep.
and then they announced they are completely ending disc production for PlayStation games January 2028, meaning PlayStation is straight up forcing an all digital future. So the same exact thing that they shit on Microsoft for when they shared, this is how you share a PlayStation game, and they handed each other a disc. Now they're pulling this shit, and the hypocrisy is hilarious.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite things to come out of this, though, is that there is a lot of companies who went to social media and made spoofs on that announcement, from gaming news outlets to like controller manufacturers. Mega. And Domino's riff that they'd cease making physical pizzas and you could instead buy codes to enjoy your pizza virtually.
Yeah.
I saw Hasbro make one that they'd stop making Transformers toys and they'd all just be digital now.
Yeah.
So with an app click, you know, you could transform and untransform.
Yeah.
You know, I would find that funny if Hasbro didn't own D&D and was fucking it by doing basically exactly that.
Yeah.
My favorite was Mega. I don't remember the full name of it, but that the place where everyone uploads everything and occasionally gets in trouble with the government for housing.
Anyway, not mentioning legalities, what did Mega do?
They said that they were going to do everything physical now instead of going digital, since it's a digital thing. And they were like, we're going to send you a fully encrypted hard drive filled with everything. I was like, you know what? That actually would be kind of awesome. Oh, it was great.
Trash Rando said Pornhub did something. Did anyone hear about that? I'm scared.
No, and I'm not going to look it up on my work computer to find out.
Yeah, me neither. Meaning.
Yeah, I can't look it up. It's
are they blocked in your state?
You don't have a VPN?
No.
Fucking amateur hour over there.
I don't have the money.
Dude, I don't use a VPN either, except when I have to watch wrestling. I don't like VPNs. I don't want to get in trouble with Microsoft Rewards for using a VPN, and
I have absolutely no issue with using a VPN. I have an issue with I can't afford VPNs. Because proper ones cost money, and I don't have money. What?
Aki?
What?
I'm afraid you're just going to have to get one less Gunpla a year.
No.
Yeah. It's, you know.
My immediate note to that was that statement to me.
Be able to like fap in peace for an entire year or one less Gunpla.
I don't watch stuff enough to really be concerned about that, and I have Tor if I really feel the need.
So anyway, what do y'all think about the whole all digital PlayStation future?
It can go fuck itself.
Yeah.
Fair.
I think the hard part is, you know, the news that preceded that, which is that you're constantly shutting down digital storefronts. How are we supposed to have things to play? And, you know, it loses the preservation aspect entirely. It's...
And let's not forget, a week prior, Sony announced that over 500 movies from Studio Canal
are
being completely removed from everybody's account, paid or not.
Yeah.
So they're just taking your paid content.
Yeah. You don't know, like it. If you don't own anything you pay for, then you can't steal it.
Let's not advocate for piracy on a publicly aired show.
Why not?
Because we don't want to get in trouble.
What, are the cops going to come knocking on the door like, oh, hey, what are you talking about on your podcast?
Yes.
No.
They're outside right now.
Popular enough for that.
No, they're actually outside because they park in front of our house catching speeders going down the
highway.
We have a really good spot to for them to sit because it's where it goes from two lanes to one, and people like try to speed down past everybody on the left hand side and then cut over last second.
Oh, dickheads.
So yeah.
I thought that was one of the shade speed trap type things. No, that one's a legitimate good one.
They're just sitting on the side of the road, and if you go speeding, because it's like a 25 here, but they don't care if you're going like 35, 40. But if you're going like 50, they'll pull your ass over.
Good. And see, that's the kind of speed trap I'm fully behind.
There's kids on this road, so like, I multiple times a night you'll hear people just zooming down as fast as possible.
Jesus.
Or like ungodly loud engines, trucks with loud engines.
I fucking hate that shit. Ugh.
We have signs that are like none of those no Jake brakes, are they?
I have the no
air
idea.
Brakes, air brakes that trucks use when you hear a truck slowing down and they go those are air brakes.
You call it air brakes when you motorboat me?
Yes. The sign says no brake retarders, but that's weird to say. So
yeah,
that's what the sign says, though. So, but they use them anyway.
Sorry, they feel left out.
They use them anyway, and I love when cops pull them over for that. It's fun. Anyway, more good PlayStation news. They announced the monthly games for PS Plus for July, and it's not a great month. They're getting Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, For the King 2, and CrossCode.
CrossCode's really good.
CrossCode's good. For the King, and Modern Warfare 3 is,
yeah.
Funny that another Microsoft game is in PS Plus, though.
Yeah. Good for them.
So that is their monthly lineup. It's I don't think Sony had a great week.
I don't think they care.
No, they don't. You know who else had a shitty week?
Everyone.
The company Dbrand. Have you heard about this?
No.
They were forced to issue full refunds to customers of a Steam Machine Companion Cube frame.
Oh!
Yes. As they never actually got a license from Valve to use the Companion Cube.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they spent, I think they said, over a year designing and planning this thing because it's like a frame for a Steam Machine. To make it look like a companion cube. And they never got an okay to do it. And they sold it. And Valve is like, what the hell are you doing? And they were like, oh, can we make this happen? And Valve's like, no, not at all now. So Valve decided against working with them on the project. And they were forced to issue full refunds. Someone on Reddit commented on their thread, you know you fucked up, right? And they just replied, yup.
That's funny. That sucks.
They took it on the chin. They admitted they fucked up, and
that's a shame because that's a smart fucking idea. That I bet that looked damn good too. Oh, that's a shame.
So 3D printers are going to be used quite a bit for that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Let's keep the shit news rolling because there's a ton of games leaving Game Pass this month. We don't know what's joining yet. We're going to find out next week on Tuesday. But because the first of the month hit, we know what's leaving on the 15th. And there are so many games leaving. We are losing Back to the Dawn, Dungeons of Hinterberg, EA Sports FC 24, Golf with Your Friends, My Friendly Neighborhood, Power Wash Simulator, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Stellaris Console Edition, Super Fantasy Kingdom on PC, Tectonica, Whiskerwood on PC, and Splitgate Arena Reloaded.
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really want to buy golf with your friends just to get those achievements, but...
But tough titty.
Yeah. I may have to. So I don't know if I'll have time to get them before they leave. Wait.
We're hearing my friendly neighbor. Three of them are not leaving, apparently. Let me... let me see here. Back to the Don, my friendly neighborhood and Whiskerwood are not leaving. Those were removed from the leaving soon list. Looks like that went live just earlier today. So thank you for the update, K4 and Trash Rando. That is good to hear. So there's three games not leaving, but there's still a lot leaving.
Yeah, there are.
There's still like way too many leaving.
Yeah, I'm still going to have to download my friendly neighborhood and finish that game. I've well, that put like 8 hours into that.
That one's not.
Yeah, leaving. I don't trust it though. I don't trust it. I need to finish it. Just in case. Damn, that's still a lot of games. Even when you take those three off, that's still a whole fucking lot.
I think Power Wash is a big loss. Power Wash and Golf with Your Friends are both essential titles.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be anything to replace those. Is Power Wash Sim 2 Game Pass?
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't remember. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking about picking it up before it leaves Game Pass, just so I can get the discount.
That's a good idea. Anyway, more Xbox news. They are apparently testing internally a disk-to-digital program that basically sounds identical to what they wanted to do back with the Xbox One launch in 2013 that people made fun of them for. It will work by registering a unique identifier on a disk to your account. The license will stay active until another console launches that same disk. It will then shift the license from the old console to the new one, and the old console can no longer play it until they get the disc back. What are your thoughts on that?
I was really hoping I'd just be able to like sell off all my Xbox discs and, you know, have a day, but apparently no, we have to make it, so it's still annoying as hell.
I mean, what's annoying about it? The fact that you can convert your disc to digital is great. You just can't sell it. You have to keep your game.
So
that's, you got to keep what you own. Oh no.
Yeah.
If you sell it, why should you be able to keep playing?
I just moved again. I don't want to have to keep lugging around all these Xbox discs.
Okay, but if you sell it, why do you think you should still be able to play it?
I mean, you got rid of it. Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, it's just like, if it was like for like a nominal fee where it's just like, all right, there it is, it's in your account, blah 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 blah, like I don't know.
It's not voodoo.
Yeah, actually, like that's actually a really good a comparison for it, because Voodoo, once it's uploaded into your account through their disk to digital program, like once it's there, like you can go off and sell your disk. Nobody gives a shit. Like, so, and I had to pay, and you pay like $2 to $5 a movie.
Yes, that's great for you. But what about the company running the program? The ones who are, you know, making the program. Why would they do something to benefit you instead of benefiting them?
I mean, then it, because then it keeps the secondhand market alive, and also,
the secondhand market give them money?
Because other people are presumably going to be doing this as well.
Why would they want that instead of those people buying a digital copy for themselves? Instead
because
of
not at full price. Not everything's going to have a digital copy at full price. I mean, like the Burger King games, they're never going to get re-released, very likely. So
those wouldn't qualify anyway. This is for Xbox One and Series games, and not even all of them, potentially. It will not work for original Xbox, and it will not work for 360 games. And even still, the Burger King games aren't compatible on Series, so you can't play them anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
this is not for your old games. This is for current console.
Okay. All right. Never mind then.
Yeah, you're not getting 50 cent for $3 disc to digital.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Yeah. So, I mean, technically, if you want, you could sell your discs off and hope no one buys them. Because if no one ever loads that disc up, that's still your game forever.
Yeah, for me, this sounds like exactly how it is without it. Like, oh, you turn into your physical thing into a digital thing, but if someone else has the physical thing, it removes the digital thing. That's the exact same as, oh, you have a physical thing, and if someone else has that physical thing,
you don't have the physical thing.
You're shit out of luck. Yeah. So it doesn't really sound like anything's actually really changed in any meaningful way to me.
The people mad about it are the ones who can't profit off it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have no problem if I were able to load up the 3 shelves of discs that I still own, convert them to digital, and then just leave them on my shelf.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of games that I would like to do this with, actually. That
I'm more disappointed. Some of them
might qualify.
I'm more disappointed it won't work for 360 games, because, like, I would love to get 50 Cent Digital, or I would love to get Enchanted Arms Digital, since that got delisted the week I was going to buy it.
Yeah, I would love for all my old games to be able to do that, too. That'd be great, because
I think I still have my copy of Enchanted Arms.
Yeah, like, I have every physical game I've ever bought, for the most part. Like, all of them from the Xbox era that I've been with, I have all of those games still. I would love to be able to turn them all digital and be able to just play them whenever the fuck I want. That'd be great. Yeah. I'd kill for that. That'd be amazing.
Oh, so I wish it worked on old games, but they said they confirmed it would be Xbox One series discs only, potentially not all of them, depending on how they were produced. I would assume that, like, independently produced discs might not have those identifiers on them. I don't know. We'll find out if this even happens. Just because it's being tested internally doesn't mean it'll come to pass. I mean, look at the family plan for Game Pass. That never came out.
Oh, I thought that did exist for a little while, and then it was gotten rid of.
It was tested in Europe, I think in the UK, and then they ended the testing and got rid of it.
Yeah, so. I mean, why have 4 people on one payment plan that's slightly higher when you could have 4 full plans instead?
Yeah.
They want their money, and by God, they don't care.
At least Nintendo's doing that right. They have their family plan with the Switch Online. You can have 8 people on one plan.
Damn.
Yeah.
How much more is the family plan, or whatever that's called, versus a normal plan?
It depends on if you get just the Switch Online, or if you get it with the expansion pack. Because the expansion pack has the extra online consoles, like Game Boy Advance and N64.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think it's $85 for a year, something like that. $79.99 maybe.
Damn, splitting that between 8 people, that makes that extremely affordable. Holy shit, that's outright fucking cheap at that point. Damn. Yeah.
And that's for a whole year.
That's pretty damn good.
Nintendo's doing it right, but I'm sure they're not making much money on that. So that's why Microsoft and Sony will never do it.
I mean, they have to be making enough money. Nintendo recently just raised a whole bunch of their workers' wages.
Yeah, because Nintendo's the only good company left in the world.
Yeah.
Let's keep the bad news going. Xbox ended its partnership with IO Interactive for Project Fantasy. And of course, because of that, IO had layoffs.
Yep, every big company fucks every small company.
I was excited about Project Fantasy too, but we can't have nice things.
Nope.
apparently the word is that Microsoft is lining up buyers for most of their studios that they've purchased in their purchasing spree, like Compulsion, Ninja Theory, Double Fine. There were rumors about Obsidian. Those were debunked. They are not looking to get rid of Obsidian. There's even rumors that Rare is on the chopping block, which is
I've heard those my rumors. Mind.
Yeah, that's...
But apparently they want to do it so that they could put more funding behind Halo and other Xbox IPs. Like, why not have those companies work on those IPs?
Why not have them work on the IPs that they're known for that made them a bunch of money, which is the reason why they fucking bought the company in the first fucking place? Like, you know, like someone who's competent.
Like, one of my gripes about it is that it's just like Double Fine is on the was potentially on the chopping block. Like, Double Fine is not a company that you buy to make a profit off of their games. No. Like it is the shit that you win accolades for, that you win like over gamers for, because you're the system that has those kind of things. Like it's like some indie director, like it's like Baz Luhrmann, like the director, like he did Great Gatsby, Romeo and Juliet, all that kind of stuff. Like, movie studios know full goddamn well, if you hand that man $200 million, you're never going to fucking see it again. Like, the movie will be amazing and clear out the awards. Are you going to see a goddamn cent in profit from that thing? Hell no.
Hell no.
But you know what? Everyone's going to remember your goddamn movies. Like, we're still talking about Romeo and Juliet. Like, when did that movie come out? Like, 96? Like, that movie's 30 years old. Like, Great Gatsby was one of the best uses of 3D in the theater that I ever fucking saw. Like, which is wild because it's the Great Gatsby. Like, how the fuck does that happen? Like, yeah. No, like, Double Fine, like, that's real shit on Microsoft's end. And
I mean, all of this is
Double Fine at least needs to be able to like spin off from itself or from Microsoft. Like, there's no reason to give them the fucking axe. Just admit that you couldn't get the job done and let them go.
Hopefully they could buy their freedom. I will say, I don't think Double Fine helped themselves by releasing Kiln.
I'm going to be honest. It's like, I think it's cute and fun, but it's
very limited.
It's too weird of a game, honestly, I think, like, for major, like,
and it was even a multi-platform game, and it got zero traction.
Yeah.
I think, like, it was just too weird of an idea to take off.
I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't fired it up since my review. My kids have.
A lot of people are the same, but
my kids enjoyed it. But yeah, they're... I mean,
Keeper was a good one. Keeper is the kind of games that they needed to put out. And they did that, and then they did Kiln, and I think that kind of just really soured Microsoft on Double Fine, because they had Psychonauts 2, and that didn't live up to expectations sales-wise, even with, you know, the multi-platform release, the physical releases. I don't know, like, what other companies have IPs that they built their legacy off of that they're not doing? Because, like, Ninja Theory, they're doing Hellblade. That's what they're known for. Compulsion Games, they're not known for anything.
And Capcom's known for Mega Man. Fuckers.
What does that have to do with this discussion?
We were talking about, like, companies that, you know, were built on their IPs that they're no longer even making games about. So I said, I was making a funny. Continue.
You know that Mega Man games have been releasing, right?
Yes.
You're just going to cry forever about Legends 3.
Well, yeah. I mean, figures. Yeah, and also, like, the downhill trek that Mega Man X had.
Yeah, well,
what are you going to do?
Slytherin acquired the game license and publishing rights for the Blood Bowl franchise from Nacon.
Ooh.
So, strategy team picks up strategy license, and things should go good.
Hopefully. Nifty.
Hopefully. Last bit of news I have is on the latest episode of Pinball Bites from Zen. They announced Goat Simulator, Princess Bride, and Pacific Rim are all going to be hitting Pinball FX VR. On top of that, some guy named Stemmage was featured in the episode.
Nice.
They talked about him for a little bit. They talked about his work with the Arcadian. They talked about his work doing his presentation at VGMCon and his work on the Jersey Jack Avatar game. It was a brief little segment, but it was really cool to see Grant get featured.
That is awesome.
Ball Squad.
Okay, I wasn't sure if one of us was supposed to play that, and I was a little confused, and I was just like, oh no, I don't have the soundboard open.
You better get your balls ready.
My balls were not, in fact, ready.
Damn you.
You better get your balls ready.
Oh man, those are always funny to me, and no one else gets them. So, Aki, what kind of news do you have?
None, because I already said mine.
Good job.
You big old dumb idiot.
Dumbass. Now that's respectful.
I love our soundboard. Bree, what kind of news do you have?
The only other thing I have that we didn't already talk about was Steam approved a game that is set to launch in the fall called Woman Simulator. It's where you act as a housewife under a tyrannical husband and you do tasks while trying to find your way to freedom.
Wow.
Is your way to freedom just grabbing a kitchen knife and stabbing the cocksucker?
No, you can either be a dutiful wife and whatever, or you can like flatter your husband to get a new handbag that you could sell to use to escape, or but yeah, you do like vacuuming and ironing the socks and underwear and cleaning the dishes and...
Who ironed socks? Come on.
I don't know.
I mean, some people do.
But yeah, I'm just annoyed that I goes punish with you. An iron.
Yeah, but yeah, your husband will punish you if you don't do good quality work.
Ew. Sounds does, awful. Does
not, it yeah, really does.
This does sounds not sound
disgusting.
Good.
What the fuck? Did some insult yeah. like this?
Well, their name is Tsubasa Games, and yeah, I guess so.
Fucking hell.
Gonna look them up now.
How about Killbossa yeah. games?
I know, right?
Jacob, what news do you have?
Well, what news do I have?
He doesn't.
It's movie watch. There.
So, folks, did you know that there's going to be an Angry Birds 3? I totally forgot that that thing was even announced. In fact, I just kind of straight up assumed it had been canceled because it's 2026 and nobody gives a shit about Angry Birds. But apparently Sega says full steam ahead. And yeah, Angry Birds 3 is coming out right before Christmas this year.
Hmm. In the butt, dude.
No, nothing in the butt while watching Angry Birds 3.
Time to also, bring balls.
I mean,
we have a lot of ball clips.
You do. I think you're obsessed with testicles.
You guys are a bunch of ball bags.
I mean, okay. So anyway, Netflix is also developing a Persona live action TV adaptation.
Interesting.
I'm sure that'll go well. There's going to be
I'll
a cartoon
on that. That could be decent, depending on who they get behind it.
Yeah.
The people making Avatar.
Bandai Namco is making a Tekken cartoon, which what? Is okay. Yeah, and the character designs look very cartoony.
I approve.
Yeah, I assume it's going to be like a lighthearted, more kind of cartoon show, probably along the lines of like Teen Titans Go or something like that. Which is kind of interesting. Well, The thing is probably to get younger kids into Tekken. But the interesting thing is that there was that Mortal Kombat cartoon show that they did like 20 odd episodes for, fully voiced and all that kind of shit, and they're just never going to see the light of day of a similar animation style. Well, I mean, like, I guess, I mean, like, I get why they ditch it, but, like, yeah, I wish they would let us all see it. I mean, the thing was that Mortal Kombat was kind of at a crossroads, like in terms of a game series, and it was like, they were really coming to the decision of, do we make it more, you know, accessible for everybody, like, and, you know, more family friendly than it has been, or do we just lean in on the gore? And they were just like, fuck it, we lean in on the gore. And I think it's worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last bit of news I have is Lara Croft is getting her own G.I. Joe action figure.
Interesting. Okay. Like actual G.I. Joe?
Actual G.I. Joe. She's going to be part of the G.I. Joe classified line. Huh. It comes with two heads, multiple weapons, axe, bow and arrow, climbing gear, different hands, backpack, obviously. And yeah. They haven't announced the price yet, but
$49.99.
Oh, well, maybe they did just, I'm going to guess that it's being released at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, I have no clue what the price is. I was just joking.
Oh, no, I wouldn't surprise me if it was that.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I said that.
Yeah. I'm not super familiar with G.I. Joe, only seen one of the live-action movies, and I remember the Go Joe, G.I. Joe, the real, what was that? Oh, yeah, American Hero?
Yeah.
Lara Croft, you know, the quintessential American hero, being
G.I. Joe,
British G.I. Joe, and all.
G.I. Joe has had, like people from other countries. I mean, and, like, is there like a Russian version of G.I. Joe or something like that? Like,
I don't know. I would like ask Cobra? You.
The worst part is like, I'm afraid, like, it's been so long since I've read up on this crap. I'm not sure if I'm going to mix it up with like Marvel, like Avengers or like, or DC's Justice League or G.I. Joe. But I thought there was something like called like the Crimson Guard or something like that. And it's like the Russian G.I. Joe or whatever. I think that there's something like that in the lore, but yeah, I mean, like, they've brought in people from all sorts of different countries, especially, I mean, Action Man, is part of the G.I. Joe, franchise too, because over in Europe, they actually repackaged G.I. Joe dolls as Action Man because they couldn't keep up with production.
Huh. Interesting.
Which, by the way, the Action Man figure that they're releasing, that thing looks sick as hell for G.I. Joe Classified. That one I wouldn't mind buying. But, shit, where were we? Oh, yeah. Also, you're not basing your knowledge of G.I. Joe off of one of the live-action movies? Yeah, I wouldn't pull my sources from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I like the first one. Like, it's dumb as hell. It's dumb as hell, and, like, it's, like, a perfect, like, live-action Saturday morning cartoon. And then Retaliation
was... I'm a fan of Channing Tatum in meathead roles.
Yeah, and, like, Retaliation was okay, but, like, it took itself too damn seriously. Like...
Because you got The Rock in it.
Well, yeah, but it was just like, oh, and we're also going to kill off, like, 80% of G.I. Joe. Like, okay... that's dumb.
Yeah. They're the heroes. You're not supposed to kill them off. What the fuck?
Well, so then they didn't have to pay Channing Tatum to be in it because he didn't want to be in it anymore.
Yep, fair enough. One was apparently enough. I get that. Yeah.
That's fair.
He did appear in the second one, didn't he? Just briefly.
Yeah. They paid him money to die.
I mean, it works.
You do it.
And then the last bit of news I have is that NetEase Games is celebrating the 4th of July in Marvel Rivals with a special suit for Captain America, and it really shows off his package. So, in case you wanted to fantasize about Steve Rogers, you know, head on over to the SML Podcast Facebook page and check out the article I posted about it. Get yourself an eyeful of the cap right there.
Fucking
why?
Hell.
Why? Why what?
Why do I? Why would I tell? Talk?
Why do you let me? Why do you let me post on the Facebook page? That's the more important question. Like,
because no one looks at it.
I mean, we have a regular group of people that definitely do. So, and also, it's great. Shut up.
All right, should we get into the reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's get started. First item to talk about tonight is the Power A Lucid Sound LS500P Wireless Gaming Headset, developed by Power A and available for a suggested retail price of $69.99. Lucid Sound LS500P Wireless Gaming Headset for PlayStation features wireless and Bluetooth connectivity, 50mm drivers, 3 EQ modes, quick access audio controls, and more. Jacob, tell us about your time spent with the Power A Lucid Sound LS500P wireless gaming headset.
This brand, it was actually recommended to me by a few of the guys I work with. I work in IT, and we have to handle calls and stuff like that. And a bunch of them prefer wireless headsets, such as this one by Lucid, and like two or three of them have Lucid headsets. And so I was like, all right, cool. Like, I mean, they all seem to enjoy them. You know, I'll try it out too. And the headset itself, like, it's pretty comfortable. Like, it fits over both of my ears. It expands pretty well. And I haven't had to, like, constantly, like, readjust it, which is a nice feature compared to other ones that I've had. You know, it's not like ones that you can, like, move up and down like a metal thing. It's just a very flexible piece of metal.
Gotcha.
And the microphone itself flips out of the headset. So it's this like little piece of hard plastic, about, you know, like 2 inches, 2 or 3 inches long. But one of the problems with it is that you can't move it to your mouth any closer without, I don't know, just getting like a new head. Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's stuck in a fixed place.
Thankfully, it seems like it's in a good spot. It's picking up the audio well enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hear everybody fine in this, and like the games I've played on both Switch and Xbox. I mean, I didn't get a chance to hook this up to Switch, but on Xbox, we got it going. You know, it, like, the audio sounds great, but it's once you get into the mic stuff, like, for some reason, gaming itself, like, I've been able to work with this just fine. Like, I've listened to my own calls. My voice sounds great. You know, like, customer or the stores can obviously hear me and don't have any issue understanding what I'm saying, anything like that. But it's just once I get into gaming or like a chat program like Discord like this, all of a sudden it just does not sound that good.
I don't know if it's the program. When we first got the headset in, it was shipped to me. You know, anything that we get for the show, it gets shipped to me and I send it out from here. I messed with it a little bit when it first came in. I hooked it up to my computer. I got the audio working. I listened to some music. I thought the speakers sound great. The headphones sound fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gorgeous like headset. I love listening to, yeah, like it's great listening to music in this.
And then I fired up Audacity and I hit record. And I wasn't pleased with the microphone, and I was hoping that it was just my setup, and that because I'm so used to my blue microphone, it's just I couldn't really get used to that one, and it had a very radio effect to it. Like, it sounded like you were listening to a radio.
Old-timey radio.
Yeah,
on pretty much.
You're listening to the old timer radio on the SML podcast.
Next up, the Lone Ranger.
And I sent it to you. I didn't tell anyone that I messed with the mic because I wanted you to mess with it on your own and to hear how it sounded without my opinion tainting anything. And after listening to the headset on the show, I don't like the microphone on this thing at all.
No, like it's really not like it's. Yeah,
it like, sounds like you sound it, right now. Basically, it's like it. Like, longtime listeners of our show know that you normally use a different headset before you started moving, and you come through crystal clear. You sound great. This one, again, you sound like you're on the radio. You sound like you're on a radio film, like you're listening to a 48K bit MP3 version of you.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. And it's kind of disappointing that the microphone is messing with it that much. Now, to be fair, I haven't gone to look and see what other people have said about this. Like, I've only just been working with it myself.
Yeah.
So I don't know if perhaps this is like, you know, maybe we just got one with a bad mic.
I hope so. Like, I'm hoping that they listen to this and they hear your mic and they're like, oh, that's not good. You guys got a bad one.
Yeah.
I hope, because I live and die. When I recommend headsets, I always say the LS35X. Lucid Sound LS35X. It's an old headset. It was before Power A bought them, so it's an original Lucid Sound release. It is a natively wireless Xbox headset. I actually inquired to the PR if they're working on any kind of native wireless headsets for Xbox again, and they said that, you know, as of now, they're just working on dongle items. And I can understand wanting to have a headset with a dongle. I don't. I want a natively wireless headset. I want to hit the power button. I want to connect to my console without needing to plug in a dongle eating up a USB slot.
Yep.
And, you know, they sent us the PlayStation version to check out. I think it's a solid headset. The battery life seemed to be really good. The EQ options that they have and the touch controls. I love how easy it is to maneuver the controls on the thing. It's just the biggest thing holding me back from wanting to recommend this is the mic quality.
Yeah. It's disappointing. And I wonder if it's just because of the mic construction. Cause like, I'm looking at other headsets that they have, and it's just like a lot of them aren't okay. Well, the LS10 does, but like most of their models don't seem to have like that kind of a setup, which is pretty odd. But yeah, I'm looking at the Amazon thing for this. It's got a 4.7 on there.
Yeah, so
24 reviews.
All I can do is hope that we got a faulty one. I'm looking at I'm seeing a 3.9 on Amazon for this.
I'm looking at the model. Oh, wait.
The LS500P?
No, I'm looking at the... I was trying to look for that. It wouldn't show it to me. It showed me the X.
Hmm.
Whatever. Anyway. But yeah, this is disappointing because the audio for the headphones, that sounds great. Like, listen to music, take calls with it. And as I said, like, I use this for 8x8 for work, and I have not had any kind of complaints, like, from customers or from my supervisors.
I wouldn't expect it because it sounds perfectly fine for gaming and for talking, but for podcasting, nowhere near good enough.
Yeah.
And when you listen back to the episode, you'll hear and you'll understand. Let's talk about price on this thing. It is a $69.99 headset. Amazon has it on sale right now for about $66. Price always varies on Amazon. $70 on this headset. What do you think?
I mean, if I just got a bad one, then, and you know, and the audio quality is actually much better for the mic, then I mean, I'd recommend it. Like, it's a very comfortable headset. Like, and the headphones sound great. But in terms of the mic, if this is how it normally is, then I would say that this is a try it. I wish that the mic was better.
Yeah, I wish it was too. I was really hoping that this could have been your new podcasting headset, but I wouldn't be able to comfortably have this every week, this audio quality.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any final thoughts on the headset?
No. I think we covered it pretty well. All right. Oh, actually, no. You know what? This thing was actually a complete butt to set up on my work PC the first time around. The Bluetooth took a while for it to connect, and I will say I'm not pleased with like the lack of instructions.
Oh my god, the instructions in this thing. Ugh.
Yeah, it's just literally pictures. A card. It's like a small card with pictures. Like, meanwhile, the warranty it goes more in depth than that thing.
The worst part about those instructions is it has a QR code to scan for instructions, and I scanned it, and it's the same fucking thing.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's the same thing as what's printed out. I was like, yep. Why did I scan this? What does this do for me? Ugh. Anyway, moving on. Next game to talk about is House Flipper Remastered Collection. Developed by Frozen Way, published by Frozen District. Released June 24th, Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $49.99. House Flipper Remastered Collection is your upgraded ticket to the satisfying world of renovation chaos. Step into the boots of a one-person crew and transform those filthy, devastated properties into real gems. Now with better visuals, voice acting, and fresh content, it's flipping just way better. Bree, tell us about your time with House Flipper Remastered Collection.
I feel like there's a big question that needs to be addressed before I get into my review, and that is, why play this game again? Because when I think of the gold standard for chorecore games, I think of things like Power Wash Simulator and House Flipper. They've done a whole bunch of improvements in this remastered collection, from graphical to storyline enhancements. There are new characters, full voice acting, and more. All the DLC are included in this collection, so you can work on your farm skills, adopt a cat colony, and of course, flip those houses. If you've never played House Flipper before, you're in for a treat. It is a simulation house flipping game, or chorecore game. You are a one-person renovation crew trying to make money in the market and sell houses to match people's visions of where they want to live. There are two primary activities in this: jobs and flipping. You can take contracts to do specific things, to fix a house project to the customer specifications, or you can just buy houses and make them to your liking while trying to appeal to a variety of customers' needs and wants. Part of the game is about making like the most amount of money so you can buy bigger and better houses, but it's also about the journey along the way, and I don't mean that in the, you know, corny way. I mean, like, it's about like getting those skills up and figuring out how you want to design things and playing around with that, and that journey is really fun. You may not find it as fun as I do to clean a big mess, but when you're doing it digitally at speed somehow, I it's just really satisfying to get the job done. So speaking of jobs, there are a lot of jobs in the new big overmap. The story mission progression is a little more gentle in this rework. There's a series of missions to do that serve as more of like a tutorial than what I remember in the previous. Jobs not only teach you how to do things, but they give you points towards perks that you can build up to, making your flipping easier, and money you'll need to buy the houses you want to flip, of course. And there's a kind of progression, so you can't just like run in and play every DLC. You'll have to play through some of the base game and its jobs first to get jobs done. You'll be given like a task of things you can do from cleaning and painting to assembling and installing plumbing fixtures, tiling, buying furniture to fill a space to order. And, like, that's part of how the story is told, through stuff. When you do most of your work in this game, it is through a tablet that allows you to shop for supplies and furniture, keep track of your job assignments, manage your DLC inventories, purchase perks, stuff like that. And everything else is like buying and selling houses and things are done through the laptop in your office. And there's a ton of variety and detail to this game. Like, I feel like there's a variety of jobs and skills you go through between missions and flipping. The catalog of items you can choose to decorate with is deep and without feeling overwhelming. And it has a search function, which is great. The different types of properties you can buy are a good variety, too. I never felt bored or like anything was too tedious like some other simulation games. There's just enough depth and a good balance of fantasy ease when doing tasks. There's now a classic mode versus free play mode you can choose at the beginning. Free play gives you some free money and all the tools up front, so you can just go. I'm not sure how that affects achievements, so I stuck with classic mode, because also I like the stories. Some settings to note that I appreciate: you can disable pet needs, so like you don't have to play with the cats, feed the cats. You can just put out auto feeders and just like assume that they succeed at, you're still going to pet the pets. You're going to play with them because they're adorable. you can change the display of broken glass instead of squirmy cockroaches when cleaning. And you have an assemble mode difficulty and a dark mode. So those were some good settings to play with. There's voice acting in the beginning of the story missions, and it's done really well. The music is a whole chill soundtrack that mostly blends into the background, and the noises for everything but the cockroaches are really satisfying. I don't know why I'm bothered to leave the cockroaches on, because I hate them, but ew. There are now flyovers where you can see the difference between when you started and when you finished the job or flip. And then graphically, the game feels like it got a tiny bit of a refresh too. The colors are bright and the lighting is excellent. For those of you wondering about the achievement list, it is just 1,000 on Xbox. I assume it's the same on PlayStation. It includes some of the DLC achievements from previous sets and gets rid of some of the more annoying achievements from the original game.
Like which
previous
ones?
DLC, I don't remember. You still have to get like €1 million from flipping, and but previously DLC content would run you somewhere between $10 and $20 a pop, and I think some of the content on the PC, like the prepper stuff, never made it to console. So you're getting a really good deal here for a lot of game, but I did run into a few buggy things, like loading into the job. The cursor sensitivity felt like it got turned way up, and the camera angles would go wonky for a few seconds. It was mostly disorienting and would go away fairly quickly. If I just waited, it wasn't an issue. And then I also ran into a game-breaking bug about a week after release, or about 22 hours into the game,
where the
game just would not load and would dashboard to the main screen on Series X. I've contacted the devs and reported the bug, but I am still waiting on a fix. So I did a whole lot of testing to try all the normal things, from reinstalling the game, deleting local saves. I tried it on a different system. I actually managed to jog the load on my Series S, and it loaded in the game to the main screen. I was able to press continue, and then it loaded up a brand new not my save office and then crashed again and would not reload. They have since, I had this issue, had an 18 gig update, and it did not fix my issue. So I don't know if that was just another set of fixes that they were working on or not, but I also had the same issue with House Slipper 2 exactly a week beforehand, right after they released the Sekiro DLC. So I feel like this is a them issue and not a me issue. There's some other people who have had similar issues that I found on some forums. But it's just really sad, because I have to be honest, I like the original House Slipper better than the sequel overall. And this is like a real treat to play again with new content and updates. and I didn't realize how much I miss some of the paint and tile features from the original, or installing radiators and wiring light sockets and the like. The tactile effort in the game was a huge task, but one that I thought was well worth it. And I also missed the room maps that keep track of stuff on your tablet. So I thought this was a great remastered collection. And if you didn't play the original, this is a great way to get all the content for an inexpensive price overall. If you, like me, miss the original after playing the sequel, you could jump back into this and get all new achievements, which is also really nice. But,
Oh, save issues.
Yeah, loading issues. The game just won't load.
Jeez. Well, it lost your save file, too, so.
Well, in theory, it lost my save file. Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bugs seem like the bad kind and not the roaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a $50 game. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the price is great for this, including all the content. I think it looked and sounded great, had minimal bugginess in comparison to the original, outside of that one game-breaking bug. I like the new additions and tweaks to the story and maps and jobs and the like. I look forward to another 80 hours or so of playing this. If they can fix the loading issue, this is absolutely a buy it, but in its current state, it's a pass. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
I mean, a broken game is a broken game.
It's currently a broken game, and I will happily come back and amend that to cheerily say, please buy this game if they can just fix that loading issue. And, you know, hey, if you hear this, please also take a look at House Flipper 2 is giving me almost the exact same issue. So, yeah.
All right, well, if there are any updates, we will be sure to pass the info along.
Yes.
All right, next up, Arcade Archives 2 Tekken, developed and published by Hamster. Released January 24th, yeah. I wish it was January. Released June 24th on Series X and S, Switch 2, and PS5 for $16.99. Tekken is an unknown fighting game released by Namco Limited in 1994. In the Tekken tournament, pugilists with their own hidden agendas clash to determine who possesses the ultimate fist. The game features a revolutionary control scheme where four buttons correspond to each limb, delivering an intuitive combat experience. Command a vast array of techniques as if you were controlling your own body. Jacob, what is Tekken?
So Tekken is a famous fighting game series that's been around since 1994. I think there's 8 games, like mainline games in the series at this point, I think. Nobody's going to correct me? All right, cool. We're going to say it has 8 games. But
I can't remember. And I know there's also a Tekken Tag Tournament as well.
Well, yeah, there's like two or those and two
Street
or three
Fighter
of those.
Cross
and,
Tekken.
Well, there's also those, remember they like did those like little spin-off games?
Oh, yeah.
Like Anna's in one of them. And then, I forget the other one. Anyway. Not important. So... what does make Tekken important is that it was one of the first 3D fighters out there. Pretty much Namco saw a Virtua Fighter and was like, shoot, we need to have that. So they ended up actually hiring most of the team for Virtua Fighter and were like, all right, yo, go make this stuff. And like the history of like how the original game got made is like fascinating. Cause essentially what Namco did is that they worked with Sony, and so the chipset that the arcade machines are built with were largely based on the PS1. So when it got, ported over to the PS1, like they had like no issues doing it and were able to like add on way more because it was tech that they were already familiar with working with. But anyway, so you choose, these different fighters and, in the original game, there aren't nearly as many, but there's like 8 different fighters that you could choose from, and you are controlling different limbs, which, I'm going to be honest, it took me a while to get used to this again, and I showed it off to my kids because they're big fans of Soul Calibur 1 and 2, and I was just like, well, this is like the granddaddy of that. Like, this is what eventually led into Soul Calibur, the games that you like. And they're watching just like how blocky and pixelated everybody looks. like the resolution is not like by today's standards, it is not good. You know, meanwhile, back in like 94, we're like, oh my God, this is so lifelike. But like my kids are watching it with this like level of like amaze and horror. That is just like, oh God, it looked like this back then. Oh, you poor thing. and then they like watched me play it. And they were like, okay, this is pretty cool. They are big fans of Armor King and King. And like they were starting to ask me all these like lore questions about it. You know, and I'm just like, buddy, it has been, it has probably been 30 years since I had to think about this kind of stuff. but, so anyways, the game, you can mess with the difficulty with it. Thank God. Cause it took a while to reacclimate, but thankfully you can set it on easy and the game will still unlock achievements. And you can mess with like health and like stage time and all that kind of stuff. And of course with all other, Arcade Archives titles, you have different, other modes too. Like you have the caravan mode, the time attack mode. I always forget one of the modes every single time we talk about this stuff.
Which ones did you mention?
There's original, time
attack, high score mode, caravan
high mode. High score. Yeah, there we go. So yeah, it has the standard modes. And yeah, like honestly, it's great to like look back at this. I'm not gonna lie, like if you haven't played it since the 90s, it's rough. But you know, it's fantastic that this thing is available again. Like, and I really like that the fact that like my kids are still gonna give it a shot. Even though this is definitely not Soul Calibur, but you know, it's just, this is like it's really cool. Like, and I'm glad that we got a title like Tekken on here. I mean, like I was not expecting this, like, cause this is just so firmly like in my mind, a PlayStation series, that honestly, I just like, I never thought that we would get something like this. I figured it would be like a console, you know, the console archives thing.
Speaking of the console archives, hey, Hamster, can you please start bringing those to Xbox?
Please.
The one this week was, like, really cool, and I'm bummed we don't get it.
What was it?
Trag. Tactical something. It was a PS1 game.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it.
It looked cool. It was like a mix of Die Hard and Resident Evil.
Okay.
It's interesting they used the Japanese ROM for this version of Tekken.
I mean, that's where it was originally developed. So, I mean...
Yeah, I wasn't sure if they would use the American ROM or the Japanese ROM, but that's
it's really funny, like, Japanese when you ROM. Start it up, because, like, when the game starts up, it's apparently the actual arcade board, like, it would power on, and it would go, good morning! Like... My kids were like, what the heck is that? And I was like, well, if you think about it, I mean, like, you turn, like, an arcade would power on all their games, you know.
In the morning.
You know, when they come in the morning, and wouldn't it be nice, and, you know, for your machines to be like, good morning. But, yeah.
I appreciate that the store page for this says, this product features an emulated version of the 1994 release presented in a manner that respects the original content. Includes expressions based on the cultural and social context of the time of its release, and some content may differ from modern values and standards of expression.
Huh.
So, yeah, they kept the game as is, any kind of cultural weirdness aside. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool that this one made it into the ACA series, and I'm really glad that they're releasing on Xbox now, because this is awesome. $17 on Tekken. What do you think?
Like, it feels like a lot, but the thing is that, like, there are other $17 titles that there's far less gameplay that you can get out of it. As I said, gameplay compared to Tekken today is rough, but like, honestly, this is a trip down memory lane worth taking. And I hope we get the other ones, because holy crap, Tekken 3 was great.
Is Tekken 3 an arcade or just console?
I thought it was, I'm like 99% sure it was in the arcades.
I don't remember. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Tekken.
Doesn't matter. Anyway.
Arcade. It does matter. Oh, my God.
Official verdict.
Buy it.
Cool. Next up, Arcade Archives 2 Moon Shuttle, developed and polished by Hamster. This one released June 24th as an Xbox Play Anywhere title, Switch 2 and PS5 for $9.99. PS4 and Switch owners can upgrade to the ACA 2 version for $2.99. Moon Shuttle is a shooter released by Nichibutsu in 1981. Players can enjoy alternating stages in which they destroy or dodge through groups of meteors to reach the goal, and stages in which they defeat enemies with wave motion cannons. Jacob, for the people who aren't too into Tekken from 94, this is a shooter from 81. What do you think of Moon Shuttle?
I mean, this game is older than me, which is pretty wild. But Moon Shuttle is a cute little title that tries changing up some of the established arcade gameplay with this. So, first off, it is a horizontal shmup, and you're moving around this like little rocket through either asteroid fields, which the gameplay very much resembles, you know, old school asteroids. But the thing is that you need to like carve a path through the asteroid field. And as you're doing it, like, obviously the asteroids will blow apart and stuff like that. But the asteroid field kind of like gets in closer to you. And so, like, eventually it's going to squeeze you, and then if they touch you, there you go. And then it alternates with shooting levels with they're pretty much like if Gyrus was horizontal. Like, think about the, like, that kind of gameplay. Like, it's not like Space Invaders or something like that. It's very firmly Gyrus-esque with it. Yeah, like, it's challenging as hell, especially like trying to figure out what you're supposed to do with, you know, at first, what you're going to do with the asteroids. And honestly, I thought I was going to be like, this was just going to be like a simple game where I'm doing nothing but blowing up asteroids. And then all of a sudden aliens are attacking. I'm like, oh crap. Okay. And it does alternate between them, like, so, but not like a perfect, like, 1-1. It's usually like one asteroid field, two or three alien levels, or alien types will suddenly come out. And then you'll get an asteroid field and then, you know, repeat over and over again. And as with other ACA titles, it has the standard releases with this, or the modes with this. So, you know, Time Attack, Caravan, High Score, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And what I thought was really cool about this is that, with some internet searching, that I found on this, apparently there was only 93 of cabinets of this made.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. Like, it was, like, an incredibly small number. And if that number is actually correct, then it's just, like, thank you so much.
There's one in Rochester I could go up and play, a place called Arcade 80s. There's a website called Orcade, A-U-R-C-A-D-E, that has information on arcade games, places that have the arcade games, and the places that are on here. It lists everything that is in their arcade. This site's fucking cool.
Yeah. Museum of the Game says, Nichibutsu released 93 machines in our database under this trade name starting in 1979.
Jeez.
So, like, this is like a definite, like, you know, this is what the Arcade Archives series is for.
Now, does that mean, you know, they released 93 of those machines, or that Nichibutsu released 93 games?
I'll double check. I think it's,
'cause that's worded.
Yeah, actually, you're right. You're right. It is entries in this index 93. Okay. Well, Well, that's good that it wasn't just 93.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be weird if there were only 90 in one of them. Jeez,
that would be wild. Yeah, I'm trying to find any numbers on it. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything. Well, at least it's not 93. Holy God.
True.
That would be terrible. But either way, I'm glad that the Arcade Archives series brought this to us. Like, this is definitely worth checking out. If you like Gyrus, Space Invaders, all those Defender, all those old kind of, you know, space, pew pew games, this is definitely one to check out because I never heard of it until now. And I'm glad that I got to.
Very true. This is one of their older releases. So it got the re-release treatment as the ACA2 version. So I'm glad that they're doing this, that they're taking their old releases and bringing them into the ACA2 franchise. It looks like it originally released back in 24 on the Switch and PS4. So there you go.
Dang.
$10, official verdict.
Absolutely.
Very good. Now I'm going to go to Rochester and play this. Next up, Rally Car Mechanic Simulator, developed by Atomic Jelly and Play2Chill, published by Ultimate Games. Released June 23rd, Xbox Series X and S, July 7th on PS5 for $19.99. Become an automotive sports mechanic and rally mechanic simulator. Challenge your skills to the limit. I just lost my place on my words. Challenge your skills to the limit. Manage the garage, dealing with parts and funds. Fix damaged rally cars, tune them to go to rallies, deal with bad weather and limited time, just like real life, bad weather. Conquer all that and your competition, become the mechanic of the best rally team out there. See for yourself if you have the skills and the mindset needed for the job. Thanks to Ultimate Games, we have a handful of copies of this to give away. Bree, before you get into your review, should we give a copy away?
I love it. Let's do it.
All right, let's do this. Giveaway, draw, congrats to Mr. Coolness. Just got a copy of the game. We will have more copies to give away through the night. Stick around in chat. And if you're listening to this on MP3 or YouTube, you should be here on Twitch. Should.
It's good. Fun. You're yeah. missing out on bits of show.
You are.
The dumb things that happen in the middle. It's fun. Yeah.
And before and after.
Yeah.
So what's Rally Car Mechanic Simulator?
So this is part Rally Race Simulator and part Mechanic Simulator. You'll race your cars to get money, but you need to keep your car in racing shape in the shop. You don't get to go drive the cars so much as you listen to the race announcer about what's happening during the race. The game comes with three modes, easy, with guidance and simplified challenges. Normal, where you need to know what you're doing, and sandbox, where you can just explore without limits, but achievements are disabled. Obviously, I went with easy, because I want achievements, and I don't know what I'm doing. And there are a good amount of settings to make your gameplay go smooth, including remappable controls and invert options. You'll find a lot of your controls on wheels, like the important assembly and disassembly modes, by pressing Y. Which I did not like, but I also did not go out of my way to remap it. You'll get to use machines like a tire assembly station and a balancer. Each of these are little mini games. You might need to hit green on a spinning wheel of mostly red, as an example. Or you might find bars moving back and forth. So you're always trying to hit green, but they don't really tell you that. You just sort of like hope that you've ever played a mini game before. So the basic beat of the game is that you get your car race ready, you race, and then you clean and repair your car and repeat. During the middle of a race, you might have some repair time to make things better. And after the tutorial, you have to start from scratch with your winnings. You had a loaner car basically for tutorial purposes. So you take your race winnings and buy a new car and go from there. Once you get back into the shop with your new car, that's when things get more detailed and less hands-on. I actually struggled to find where I could buy the car in the first place because there are two shops, one for cars and one for parts on the wheel, and I didn't notice that at first, and I was very confused as to if I was supposed to buy all the individual parts and assemble a car. I was very overwhelmed, and then eventually I realized that there was a shop for the cars. And the shops actually have categories and search bars, and the purchase list you can do from the part itself as well, which is really like a nice quick jump. You can also earn passive skills like Screwmaster, Partmaster, Repair, Exam, Shops, you know, stuff like that. And it looks like this comes from doing things rather than like getting perks that you can buy. So the more you unscrew things and screw things together, the closer you get to getting your Screwmaster perks, stuff like that. So there are also updates you can buy for the garage, like a dynamometer or however that's supposed to be pronounced, a painting room and stuff like that. You can upgrade tools with the money you earn as well, like tire tread testers and an OBD scanner. And once you get upgrades to the garage, you can test drive your cars. I didn't get that far because I was not great at this game in terms of making money. but I found out about it because there's achievements for it. But yeah, partly time is money here, and your knowledge of cars is actually important to this game. There are two legs of a rally race, two race segments, and a repair segment in the middle. You have 10 real-world minutes to clean your car and make repairs enough to get the car back on the road. This is a challenge if you don't know where parts are on your car. Plus, there's the pressure of repair minigames. It takes time to remove other parts, like getting to the middle pipe in your exhaust system by unscrewing the downpipe from the engine and the muffler. It all makes perfect sense, but if you don't have a lift for your car, you're swooping in from an odd camera angle to try and navigate to different parts. And now we get to the section of things that irritated me about this game. The camera angles and zooming into parts was cumbersome. Angles would go one way and the cursor another, and it was hard to navigate, especially without a tutorial of how those things worked. The tutorial segment also didn't explain most of that. The tutorial did mostly explain other things, but not help that time is often of the essence in this game. And you don't need to get fast, and how do I explain this? You have to know where everything is and what to do to get things done in time. And that takes some effort if you're not already a car person. But if you're not already a car person who's interested in mechanics, why would you be playing this game? And then also it comes up with the age-old question of Chorecore. If you do this for a living enough that you know where these parts are and what they are and what they do, are you really going to want to sit and do this in a digital space after you get home from a hard day? But, you know, that's not up to me. The button schematics were irritating, and while you can remap, I didn't like holding the button or the awkward cursor movement, as I mentioned. So yeah, you have to know car parts to play this game effectively, even in easy mode. My third race, I had to bow out because I could not figure out how to change the brake caliper on the left rear of my vehicle because I didn't know where to find it. Well, no, it wasn't exactly because I didn't know where to find it. It was more like I was experiencing an oil leak and the reservoir was in the engine. Or you have to know that the battery's in the rear of the car. You have to know where in the engine the reservoirs are. You have to know where things are, and you don't really get a lot of time with your car if you're going out for your first race or two to get acquainted with all of these parts. I think sandbox mode would be helpful, but then I feel like I'm not progressing in the game. So yeah, I'm not a complete noob at car parts, but this was a bit much for a casual player.
It's fair.
I think, yeah, despite my list of gripes, this was actually a solid mechanic simulator for people who know something about cars. And there's a good amount of depth without being overwhelmed in the minutiae of simulator spaces. Like, I've played a few simulators that were mechanic-based, and the amount of screws that you had to do, and oh my god, just no. So yeah, this one's not bad.
All right, well, let's talk about price on this one. Clocks in at $19.99. What are your thoughts on Rally Car Mechanic Sim?
I think the price is great. I thought it was nice to give you a little bit of variety in this, so you're not just doing the mechanic things. You actually get to kind of race them. And again, supposedly you do get to drive your cars a little bit at some point on a test track or something like that to test things out for some of the achievements I noticed. So that balance was interesting. But yeah, I think for me, knowing that there was a couple of things that were really finicky, like those camera angles, and that you need to know a little bit more about cars earlier on, I could give this a try it easily.
Very cool. I am still looking at this arcade site, and there's a place out by Pittsburgh that has like 400 arcade games.
Mm.
Including 34 that allegedly no one else has going.
Hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Now I want to go to Pittsburgh. All right, next up, final game to talk about tonight is Talomere, developed by Chris McFarlane, published by Ocean Media, released July 1st. Xbox One, Series X and S, $6.99. Indulge Lady Talomere in her lovingly violent dungeons. See how far through her lovingly violent dungeon you can delve in this 2D indie action roguelite-inspired platformer. New rooms are procedurally generated every time you play, meaning you'll have to be on your guard for every randomly placed enemy, elite, boss, and treasure chest you'll come across. Each room gets progressively bigger, harder, and more rewarding the further you go. Aki, we covered Talomere 2 recently. This is the first game in the series Ocean Media is bringing to console. What do you think of Talomere 1?
This is some hard shit, yo. Like, real fucking hard. Like, Talomere 2 was hard. This one is so much harder. Oh, so... If y'all remember, basically you're going through a dungeon, and in the second game you're finding cats, and this one, I don't think you are. I think you're just going through it to get to the end, to be like, bam, I just beat it, bitch. And then I guess kick the witch right in her clam and run off. I don't know. And throughout this, you're able to find weapons from enemies sometimes, and everything's procedurally generated, so every run's going to be completely different. And this game sadly has some issues in it that make it so much harder than the second game. Namely, when enemies throw things at you, they lock onto you and they just kind of follow you. It's like, fuck my life. So, you know, that was something that I learned and I couldn't figure out how to deal with at all in any conceivable way, and died to time and time and time and time and more times again. So there's that. Leveling, however, is slightly different. In the second game, you go, after you defeat enough enemies, you go to a statue, you level up, and you choose which of three options you want. Sometimes it'll be a whole bunch of health, sometimes it'll be attack, sometimes it'll be something else, sometimes it's a little mix of them. You never quite know what you're going to get because it's all randomized. And this, you get some health, and some attack. And you're told, hey, go get them, Tiger. And then you proceed to, you know, have someone throw a bomb at you that follows you for, you know, like 20 seconds and then hits you and kills you. That was basically how all of my runs went. I was doing good. I was doing good. Oh, and there's an asshole throwing some potions at me that follow me across the screen. And I'm dead. Fuck. New run.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had no luck. I don't think there's any characters to unlock in this one. I don't remember seeing any anyways. It also didn't seem like you unlocked weapons that you could just pick from the beginning. It was, you find them as enemies drop them, or you can buy them in the store instead, which was interesting. You still have the mechanic where, you know, there's lots of teleportation devices around, so if you're getting your ass beat in the level, hopefully there's a teleportation device that'll bring you right back to the opening area where you can talk to the witch and she'll heal you up real quick, which is always nice. There's also a mechanic in this where, well, you go up to the top of the screen in that same area where the witch is, and kill a bunch of kitties. And for every one of them you do, you get a certain amount of extra health, so you can run through the levels a little easier. Which was not what I was expecting after you're going out and finding them because she loves them and such. In the next game, that was a very different approach to the game. Yeah, that was a choice. It was definitely a choice. And yeah, you're still just going through levels, killing things and trying to avoid the multitude of traps, of which there are damn near infinite amounts, and getting to the next level. It's all pretty simple, but extremely hard to master. It's very much one of those styles of games where it's like, oh, this looks easy. Oh, I just died. That wasn't as easy as I thought it'd be. So, yeah. I don't really know what else to say about it. This is a very, very simple style of game. It's just also a very fucking hard game.
All right, well, it's $7. What do you think of it?
I think if you want to give these games a try, I think you should play number two. It has more upgrades to it that just make it a little bit easier to get into. If you like really hard games, I totally recommend this. But I personally would say maybe skip this one, play Telomere 2 instead. Because I think that one's going to be a lot easier for people to dive into.
The second one's more approachable.
Yeah, significantly.
Gotcha. If you like the second one, is it worth grabbing this one to see?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely worth it, and it's going to kick your ass up and down the aisle. It'll be great.
Very good. Well, if anyone needs their ass kicked, it's you.
I'm not Jacob. The fuck are you saying that to me for?
I mean, he needs his ass kicked too, but you do too.
No, I don't. I'm fine. Need a
swift kick in the ass sometimes.
Yeah, the difference between Aki and I is that she doesn't moan when she gets kicked in the butt.
Exactly. I have decorum. Thank you very much.
You are a lady. On that note, we are done with this episode. Thanks to the three for being here, hanging out. Music this episode, I am going to play some Tekken 7 music. How's that sound?
Ooh, sounds nice. Sexy.
From Ivan Hackstock from OC Remix.
Nice.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, there you go. Does anyone have any final digital words to give before this episode becomes physical forever in a USB drive that I throw into the garbage?
That was perfect in New Orleans, actually.